The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours as we sit in here and make up the rules as we go, because that's what we're allowed to do.
That's right.
So we've decided that we're going to go ahead and do, because the golf draft yesterday didn't work out because we didn't.
It was a great idea. We maybe didn't figure out exactly how we were going to grade stuff.
That's the thing. And so I would hate to make you buy me a very expensive drink when we didn't really identify the rules. Now, I did have the highest finisher of the people in the draft yesterday. Right. But he did not win the first round leader.
And specifically not, and he didn't win first round leader on the course.
Yeah.
Because there's two different courses. So
we'll just void that one out.
Good idea. Hey, we at least got a couple of our guys finished like top five, top 10 first round. So maybe some people tailed some of those out there.
So we will just void that one out. But this one cannot be voided because there are only eight participants and we're going to go four apiece. So I'm going to lead things off here, and if you don't know where I'm going, then you didn't listen last time. I'm picking Damian Lillard.
Pretty
the guy's
jealous.
Been sitting at home. He could probably win this thing left-handed if he wanted to. That's all he's been doing. He's just been shooting. He was shooting in a wheelchair. He could probably at least finish in the top three of this thing from a wheelchair.
He probably could. I think
they're going to let him stand up, and I think he's going to shoot well. And so I'm going Damian Lillard.
I can't get past that thought. Like, yeah, yes, you can say this guy is not in basketball shape, has not been playing with a team, all that stuff. But, like, I know he's got a mansion in Portland with a basketball court probably in it that he's just been sitting there shooting.
I've seen these guys go gain 40 pounds whenever they retire, and then it'll just show them out on a court, and then the shot just still goes up. Like, yeah, they probably couldn't juke you anymore.
Right.
They probably couldn't get to the hole on you. But if you just leave them standing there at the three-point line, they can still just drain them all day long.
Okay, I've got one. One I know that I will be betting. And yeah, I bet this almost every year. I usually pick two guys, have a little fun with it. Tyrese Maxey, I will be taking.
Okay.
He will be a guy I would definitely be betting. And then I'm kind of deciding between a couple others. Again, over 40% on wide open looks this year from three, making the most of anybody in the field per game. And then I will go, man. You know what? I'll ride the vibes of a good season for Jamal Murray. I will go Jamal Murray with my second pick.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to go. I'll go Khan and then Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think, one, just because I just love watching Khan shoot the ball.
I like your team better already.
I just love watching Khan shoot the ball. Like, it is such a pure shot.
Mm-hmm.
I just love watching him shoot the ball. And then I'll take Donovan Mitchell as a guy that I believe – if you look at the guys that I had remaining, I would take I like him over. But here's Brian. I'm going to end up with Portis.
I was going to say, I think Danny could just fill out the rest.
Yeah. So I'm going to end up with Portis. So I can go ahead and just circle him.
Bobby was in this last year, too, right?
Like, yeah.
We'll get three. No, we got to do all four because we're going to have a winner. It's okay. We can put those on the graphic, Danny. Yeah. It's okay. We'll leave out the last couple. We'll just leave out the guys that we will definitely not be betting.
Yeah, so you're taking Booker Powell.
I'm taking Booker Powell. I would rather bet. You know what? I'm going to say I think Booker's got a better chance contending in this. I don't think it's by much, though, and I actually think those odds are a little disrespectful for Norman Powell. So if you're the guy that's going to like if you're spreading out three bets in this, I don't mind including Norman Powell at 10-1 or plus 950. It's a little wild.
We're getting a bonus here of him being the least sexy name outside of Bobby Portis.
Is that what it is? That's what it is.
The odds are all jumbled up. Until you get to Norman Powell, and like the casual bettor goes, I don't even know who Norman Powell is.
Thanks, Matt. Good call. You're right. My NBA brain is too locked into the NBA all the time. Yeah, you're right. That's what it is.
That actually is probably value. If we were trying to identify value, because like even if you wanted to say he belongs below all the, then it would be 750. It would be 10-1.
Mm-hmm. What I'll be doing. So just from, you're absolutely right. What I will be doing is betting Maxey and then one of Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, or Norman Powell. Especially if this number keeps drifting all weekend, right? If this hits double digits, I don't really know how I'm not looking at Norm.
So there it is. We've done our draft, and there will be a winner. We will come in here, we'll grade this puppy on Monday, and this will be for the expensive drink.
That's right. Get that figured out.
So we all have rooting interest at this point. Let us know which team you like better. It's going to be mine, but it's okay. Let me know which team that you like
better. Yeah, I like your team better already.
No. Don't emotional hedge. Don't emotional hedge.
No. It's okay. I went with my guys.
Yeah.
Probably should have gone with Khan over Jamal Murray, but yeah, whatever.
You're emotional hedging. Don't do it. It's fine.
Big stage for Khan Knipple. I don't know if he can handle it. Rookie. Bright lights. All-star game atmosphere.
Okay. Let's head to these markets out here in the awards for the NBA. Now, as of from yesterday to today, because again, we have yet another game in which SGA doesn't play and whatnot, Cade Cunningham falls to 14-1 now.
Okay.
So the a little bit more juice on Cade Cunningham here for MVP as people, I think, look around and go, well, SGA's not playing. And Jokic, we think he'll qualify, but there's at least a chance that if something else comes up that he might not qualify. Cade Cunningham is going to qualify.
Well, he's the best player on the team with the least amount of losses right now in the NBA. So, like you were talking about earlier, as much as we talked about the Thunder all season long, 42-14 is their record. The Detroit Pistons are 40-13. So that's where we're at. Best win percentage right now. He's the best player on that team. I get that. I think some of the just even baseball card numbers, right, advanced stats, I don't know if he's going to get there. I don't know that, would I put him above Luka? Because he's jumped Luka. Yes, I would. That's partially due to Luka Doncic injury.
And you see the number drifted on Jalen Brown since yesterday. It was 35-1. It's 40-1 today.
Yeah. That's a little interesting, too. The one I will say about Luka, though, and I've said this, man, it feels like for 2 or 3 months, Matt, it's not a bet for me, but it's because of my lack of belief in where the Lakers end up finishing in the standings. I just don't know that you can go make a great case for Luka if he's on a sixth seed in the Western Conference or something like that. But if you are a bigger believer in this Lakers team down the stretch than I am, I don't think 20-1 on Luka is a terrible bet. I think at a certain point, we talked a little bit about this the other day, Jokic, I've got bets already on Jokic, man. I hope he gets there. I hope he's able to play this number of games. I think it's too fine a line still. Now, at a certain point, we're gonna hit a point in the season, you know, a few weeks from now where, okay, if he's still got a couple games free, I'll probably be changing what I'm saying. I don't know that you can go in and bet on and that now. I think what's really curious here, Matt, is there a point before Shai Gilgeous-Alexander returns that this number comes back far enough to the pack that becomes the bet again all of a sudden?
Probably, but it's not there yet for me.
It's not there yet. But let's say he misses a week more of games. So not just, okay, obviously we're in a dead period now. You're missing that. You get out of All-Star Week and he misses 4 or 5 games. This number hits -125 with him back on the court. Are you going in on SGA?
I would like it to be a little bit closer to even money because now you start to, like you said, I mean, there is buffer, but you are starting to get into the danger zone there a little bit.
You are, and it will depend, obviously, if Jokic had missed any games then. But I think we're going to get excited about some of the other names. I think this is a two-horse race with SGA and Jokic, and that's only if Jokic plays is able to get over the hump. So I'm just throwing out there. I like, for me personally, all I do have a long, silly, stupid 101 Cade Cunningham ticket. I'm heavily loaded on Jokic from earlier in the season at 5-1. If I see that kind of drift with SGA, I will be in on him. And I just want to point, I don't think it's just from a hedging standpoint. I actually think it's a good bet if he hasn't hit the court yet again and it's around even money, I think that becomes a pretty good bet.
Coach of the year is 4 deep under 10-1. We get Charles Lee at 15-1 and then everybody else 20 or longer. Do you believe that JB Bickerstaff is your favorite?
Man, yes. I believe he should be the favorite. I made a bet on Jordan Ott last week and it's right around this same number. And a lot of this is, I just don't think there should be that big a separation between where Bickerstaff is at and where Ott is at. The more that, like we just talked about, what happens in the standings, the more of that occurs. And if Detroit continues to, from here on out, has the best record in the NBA, yes, I think he's winning it. It becomes not even a discussion, right? If the Thunder catch back up, okay, this Detroit team slips at all, just preseason expectations. I don't really know what we're talking about here with Jordan Ott being this far back. Preseason win total on this Suns team was 30.5. 30.5 games. Kevin Durant leaves town. All the major changes with this roster and what you expect. This was not a team. Like, the win total was so low, I had no interest in going under on them, Matt. Right? Like, It was a team that I really didn't think was going to be a factor at all in the Western Conference. They're a 7th seed right now, could easily play their way out of that play-in position. I think Jordan Ott should be getting a lot of love for a team that I didn't expect to be in remotely sniffing a playoff opportunity at all this year. I'm a little shocked he's that much further back from Bickerstaff. Missoula is great every year. Like, I don't think he really stands a chance. Wembanyama gets all the credit there, right? Wembanyama and what you've done with this roster gets all the credit. Charles Lee probably should be more in the conversation. I know I've got a lot of tweets about this. He probably should be more in the conversation, but they just started too far back. Too many losses too early. I think where they end up in the standings is going to hurt him, and I don't think he's really in the race. I think Missoula probably is, Matt.
In the last 40 seconds, let me give you one scenario. I don't think it's going to happen, but what if the Spurs overtake the Thunder in the West?
Yeah, the standings always do matter with this. So, yes, he's at least live back in the conversation if that occurs.
Because, I mean, again, don't think it's going to happen. They are only 3 games back right now.
I still think, though, okay, if we're talking about situation end of season, it's Spurs with the 1 seed and Detroit with the 1 seed, I think Bickerstaff still wins the award.
Okay, yeah. But just wanted to throw that out there.
I mean, that's where the Wembanyama MVP conversation, I think, comes back into play. Right. Not just defensive player of the year, MVP.
Let's get into some baseball betting conversation. Just how do you go about it? What's the strategy and how has it changed over the years?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Kelly.
So,
news coming through here. Toronto Raptors have waived Chris Paul. And
what was your favorite moment from the Chris Paul?
I was just about
Toronto.
To say, I'm going to bet that 98% of you listening and are watching right now had no idea that Chris Paul was even on the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, probably not.
And so they have waived Chris Paul. He will have his pick of where he wants to go here, Kelly. And it's just, it feels like this is going to be a sad ending to a really storied and awesome career, but man, it's just,
yeah, you and I were talking,
it got bad.
But I'm not going to say hang it up. I'm never going to say hang it up to anybody. The guy clearly loves playing basketball this much. And I respect the hell out of whatever you do in life. If you can love something this much, that is awesome. Having said that, Matt, if I was in his shoes, I probably would have hung him up about 8 years ago and been enjoying all of that money that's in that bank account.
Just living on a banana boat.
Yeah. Island in the Caribbean. Yeah, I'd just have someone just
on a banana boat.
Just dragging me along.
Yeah, you're just going from island on a banana
to
boat.
To Aruba.
Yeah, and you're just on the banana boat the whole time.
That would just be me.
Yeah.
Can you do that one-handed? You can do that one-handed, right? Because I need I need some kind of beverage.
Yeah, in the other. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Need a margarita or something in there.
If you saw a crazy wave coming, maybe you just batten down the hatches a little bit or whatever. But outside of that, yeah, you can one-hand banana boat, I'm pretty sure.
I'm just trying to think of teams, right? Like, okay, if we have, I don't know, you say it could end sad. I think it could end kind of cool, too. Like, there are teams that he's been on. I mean, not long ago, we're talking about Chris Paul having played every single game of the season for the San Antonio Spurs. And now, yes, they have added young guys in that backcourt. Could he still not be used as a leader on that team and someone that those guys are used to just have around, even if he's not seeing the court all that often? I think that's a possibility. Could we definitely rule out some type of...
Here's where this gets sad. Is if he really still wants to play a lot.
Right.
And then so he just goes to some mediocre, slash bad team.
I agree with that.
And then it's just like old guy out there running around doing pointless things and all that. Like that's where it could get.
But if you can, if you can get into the Udonis Haslam Jeff Green role of like, hey, I'm still technically on the roster, but I'm basically an assistant coach. I think it'd be kind of, I mean, even like OKC, right? Like a team that he's been on, like you know, just a lot of young guards flying around out there. That is a guy that could, I think, make an impact from that side of things.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I hope that he has in mind that playing time is going to be sparse and I'm doing this because like I still enjoy the game. I still want to be around the game, but I am more of almost like coach on the sideline to the younger guys type thing than I need 25 minutes a game, you know, like, come on, man. No, you don't.
Now I'm trying to think like the Heat, like they've always been a team that they appreciated that Udonis Haslam role and like their backcourt. I mean, if Tyler Hero is going to continue to get hurt here, he might actually be able to get a few minutes a game there.
Okay, maybe we'll think about this over the weekend and come back with like best landing spot.
No, this is just me loving the NBA too much. Like nobody cares. He's not going to make that big of an impact.
Well, depth is depth, right?
Depth is depth.
Depth is depth. There's no doubt about it, guys. If you have not already become a VSiN Pro subscriber, we're going to allow you to do so for just $9.99 for the first month. You can go in and see every single thing that we have to offer over there at VSiN.com. That includes the betting splits page that we know you love, the AI-powered props that are going right now for the NBA. Tough to handicap that on a daily basis as it is, so go in, allow us to help out, get the video feed for you. All the replays are included, and any of the betting guides that happen to come out while you are a trial member, you will get those as well. You can start for as little as $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, Kelly, we've talked about some of these divisions and what we think is going to happen there. Some of my win totals, Adam Roseberg joins us, Joe Sheehan joins us. We're getting all kinds of baseball stuff going on, but we haven't really talked about just the nuts and bolts of betting when it comes to baseball. And it has changed over kind of the last 5 years, in my opinion, mainly because of, and we like advanced stats and we like analytics and we like all that, but it has been to the detriment of the starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, because there is all this data out there that unless you're the elite of the elite, the third time through the lineup, these guys want to get you out of there now.
Mm-hmm.
And so handicapping games now where we used to think, you know what, get six or seven out of this guy. And after we get six or seven, okay, let's look what the setup man in the bullpen in the closer looks like. You know, four and two thirds, five flat, five and a third. Like these are all very, very common stat lines for the majority of the pitchers in Major League Baseball now. And so we have to move kind of away from the full game lines a lot more. I know I have into first five bets. They allow. The other thing the books have done, which is you can do first seven inning bets too, as opposed to like going the whole
first
game.
First three, first five, first seven,
So you can handicap each game individually. Now it is more work, but I mean you can handicap each game individually as to okay, what is the realistic time that I think this pitcher is going to pitch in this game? I like him up until a certain point, so my bet is this as opposed to that, or my bet could be extended up to here, but I don't want to go further than that and get to here. So they do allow us different angles to attack these games, but I think that's the first and foremost that I would tell people that are just getting into baseball betting. Understand that the full game money line bet has changed drastically from what we know in the past, because now you're only getting five innings from a starter and you're going to bullpens pretty early, and you better know how taxed is that bullpen, how good is the middle relief. What do you think about the closer situation? Is that guy even available that day because he might be overworked and all of that? So all of that gets handicapped a whole lot more now.
Yeah, and if anybody out there listening just kind of wondering why we got into this topic, we kind of brought it up yesterday, and this was – I'm going to ask Matt some questions just kind of from my standpoint too. I think it will apply to a lot of people out there where if you're betting as regularly as we are, I recommend at least to kind of pick in some sports that you're going to kind of be experts to try to use your expertise in and kind of lean into the most, spend the most amount of your time. And baseball was a sport that I was handicapping on a daily basis 15 years ago and was betting. And it was one of those that, okay, as I kind of expanded sports that I was betting, I didn't have as much time for it, was getting way more into the NBA. NBA had been doing for a long time now. And baseball kind of fell by the wayside. And like you just said, it has, I have seen it change massively how people handicap the sport, how they break it down. The stats that you'll lean into, that we'll hear Adam Burke lean into, that we'll hear Gil bring up all the time. All this stuff has changed a lot. So really, we thought we'd have kind of more of a step back conversation about really how it's changed, what Matt considers important. And we'll let you go here, but there's a couple like you just hit off right off the bat. So I feel like back in the day, it was way more, and Gil will say this a lot, it's kind of the, it's the individual sport disguised as a team sport. And that was heavily how I used to handicap it back in the day. Starting pitchers, I am looking for starting quality starting pitchers in good spots with good lines that I'm getting on those guys. And that's usually where I'm starting my handicapping. So based off of what you just said, starting pitching doesn't matter as much in the sport, but from a handicapping standpoint, does it not matter as much as it once did? Yes. And bullpens and closers are mattering more now.
Well, it certainly doesn't in full game betting, right? Because again, like I said, I mean, we've gotten to a point where the vast majority of starters are just not going past six innings anymore. And a lot of them don't even get to six innings.
Right.
Right. Like if any of you play in a fantasy sports league that is quality starts, like you understand how hard it is to get a quality start these days, which by the way, if you don't know what a quality start is, you have to go at least six innings with three or fewer earned runs. And they're hard to come by because people just don't go six innings anymore.
So, so real quick, and even if even I could even in theory approach batting it the same way in handicapping, starting with starting pitching. I'm sure everybody starts with starting pitching still anyways. But if I wanted to lean heavily into that, what's changed is now I have way more places offering those markets that maybe is just better for me to bet the first fives and stuff like that.
Remove the unknown.
Remove the unknown.
The unknown at that point is how long are they going to leave him in? Even if... Because the other thing is
which makes baseball different than any sport.
We see guys cruising. We see guys cruising all the time, and managers are just different. And some managers just pull a guy. It doesn't even matter if he's only thrown 70 pitches. But you get to like six innings, especially these younger dudes, you're out. Like they are pulling you, you know. And so there's definitely that. The other thing too is you go in and handicap these lineups according to the pitcher that they're going up against, which is another really good way to kind of attack, like reverse engineer what you're talking about. Like, yes, you always start with starting pitching, but there are lineups that are lefty heavy that hit righties much better, or vice versa, that just hit lefties so much better, right?
Okay, real quick. So back in the day, that would have been a thing still, right? Righty-lefty splits, how are you doing against those? Now, have we evolved more beyond that even? Are you looking for specific... Okay, maybe you're getting the righty-lefty matchups that you like, and you know, a lot of left-handed batters that can hit the right-handed pitchers well. But even is it types of pitches even that you're getting into these days, or not really?
That's more when it comes to if I'm doing props on a pitcher. So if I'm doing props on a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
There are teams that, you know, and again, because baseball stats have gotten so granular.
Right. This is why I bring
it up. They struggle against sliders. Mm-hmm. They struggle against high velo starters and all these different stuff like that. And like that's where you can go in and attack like some of the strikeout props and things for some of these guys, because these lineups just don't hit X as well, and he excels in that certain area and all of that. So lots to talk about.
Let's keep going on the other side.
We'll get some more in that, and certainly in the next week as well. But some more questions here on the other side about Major League Baseball betting.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, continuing on here with the Major League Baseball discussion. No, we are going over there, Pebble Beach. We see that these guys are.
Oh no! Do I want to look?
Are rock and rolling? Actually, I didn't look at the scores. I don't know if anything bad has happened yet.
Oh, we got into a great baseball conversation. Hopefully, people out there appreciate some of that.
Has anybody done anything
Akshay Batia one under up to eight. Old Ricky Fowler
one under. Denny McCarthy one under.
Yeah, nothing else too notable.
A whole bunch of evens. Let's see. Jason Day's one over.
Yeah, he was. You weren't on him at all, right? He was popular this week.
Lucas Glover one over. You can't do this because it's an individual sport, and that's way too easy to do bad when it looks like you're trying to do good. But was there a more obvious dead last than Brian Campbell in this tournament? Like, you can't bet dead last because, like, you know, again,
golf's hard enough as it is. It's way too easy to throw it, you know?
Yeah.
What was there? Was there a more obvious dead last than Brian Campbell in this tournament?
Ooh, let me, let's see what Kelly's bottle said. Ah, Kelly's bottle says, no, he is not last. It was Joe Highsmith.
Mine was Campbell. Highsmith was second, though.
Yeah, you know how often we say, like, you know, if Scheffler's not number one, you're probably doing it wrong. Why is Campbell not in like the bottom 10 of mine?
But I can tell you this, my model is pretty good as the guys at the bottom, though. Campbell, Rye, Potgieter, Highsmith.
Yeah, Potgieter probably should have been a fade for us this week.
All of those guys were at the bottom of my model. They're all at the bottom of the leaderboard right now. They're guaranteed four rounds, though. They're not going anywhere.
You know what?
By the way, another birdie for Ricky Fowler.
Let's go, Rick. He likes to call himself Rick these days because he's a grown man.
T5.
He's a man. He's 40. He's almost 40.
T5, 2 under, 8 under for the tournament. Let's go. Go, Ricky Fowler.
Okay, actually, no, I lied to you before, by the way. I did not actually have my model pulled up. The bottom would be still Joe Highsmith. Joe Highsmith, Potgieter, Marco Penge, and then Campbell. And Stephen Fisk.
Penge also down at the bottom. So your model was correct on that, too, on him as well.
We'll see how that all plays out. Not the best course for him. Man, I'm telening you, though, like, Scheffler did what he did last week. I'm not going to freak out about Scheffler. But, yeah, Ludvig. Oh, boy. This has not been a good-looking start for Ludvig Åberg.
So, I mean, we should go ahead and we can hit that real quick here. But we say on the podcast sometimes about dudes that we're going to hold off on betting. I will not be betting Ludvig anytime soon.
Well, and you know, the most obvious places that we probably would have been excited to were the past couple weeks anyways. Not really Pebble that you really be looking at him, right? I don't know. Well, I guess next week it could be a good course for him, but I'm with you. It's a wait and see with him right now.
It just seems like something's been off with him for a hot minute now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go along with the ride. He doesn't win often enough for me to go along on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
So, no good there.
Yeah, I got one home with him early last year, which was nice. But yeah, it's been struggle for a while now here.
So the other thing, I guess, we were kind of into that as we were going into the break, is the other thing that I bet. I mean, maybe even more than anything else is like pitcher props, you know. And so, going in, looking at a pitcher versus a lineup, seeing what the strikeout total is, seeing what the total outs total is and things like that, and then going in and deciphering, is this too low or is this too high? Mm-hmm. And so you go in, and it's not an automatic that every time Paul Skenes takes the hill that he's going to go over his strikeout total, because obviously they adjust it so high with whatever. But where you find kind of a decent amount of edges, in my personal opinion, is the super middling numbers of strikeouts on dudes, the 4.5s and 5.5s that are put out there, because that's where you can really dig in and be like, oh, okay, he actually does have an advantage here because he throws this a lot. This team struggles against this a lot. They don't have a really good platoon advantage against him. There's very likely to be an outcome where he gets to the requisite number of outs that you would need to make it a positive EV bet for strikeouts and things and stuff like that. And so that's where I think the handicapping really does get kind of fun for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we weirdly geek out on stuff that a lot of people would find tedious and horrific. Sure. Yes, or whatever. Yeah. Stuff. But like, yeah, but that's where I kind of geek out on that. It's like you find a dude who you think he's an all right enough pitcher. He's not outstanding and he's not terrible. He's got the middling number attached to him. And then it's like, okay, let's go and look at this lineup. What do they do well? What do they do poorly? How has he looked the last few starts? Is he kind of rocking and rolling right now? And then you kind of like make your bets accordingly to that.
And you're going off a lot of it, just like we are with golf, just like you are in a lot of sports, recent form with like a starting pitcher, right? Especially what has he looked like those past three, four starts.
And we'll have Spore on next week. Yeah, we'll talk to him over at Fangraphs, but you'll hear me reference like Fangraphs a lot, Baseball Reference a lot, going in, looking at advanced stats and things, because the reason we look at advanced stats is most of the stats that we talk about in baseball are stats that have happened already, but they're not forward-looking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just talking about what's already happened.
Right.
ERA is what has already happened. Like, your your batting average is what has already happened. We try to look at expecteds and like, where should this be? Should he be better than he is right now? How does this look like? What went on with all of that? Because those are predictors, right? Like, we're trying to predict whether the guy has been lucky, unlucky. That's another thing that I'm sure y'all reference here all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like batting average, balls in play, like, you know, like BABIP and things like that. And that's for a pitcher and for a batter, right? Like, you can look at it from on both ends. Is a pitcher
fielding independent pitching, right?
Is a batter, you know, if it is his BABIP like just super, super low? Like, you know, there is just a, because not every, you're not going to crush every baseball, but you still get hits when you don't crush a baseball. And so that's where the batting average balls in play kind of levels things out with all of that. And if a guy's super, super low, it means he's pretty unlucky, because the ones that he's not crushing are not falling still, right? He's not finding that little hole. Little flares don't drop, the different things like that. And like, these are all things that you have to take into account. And the same deal, flip side to a pitcher, right? You're looking and you're going, wait. This batting average ball's in play, unless they're just terrible, right? I mean, if they're a bad pitcher, then it could be super high. But like, if they're middling all the way up to higher tier, and you can kind of go in and go, last five starts, BABIP's been like way inflated. He's due for some positive regression here and all of this, and you can take that into your handicapping as well.
Okay, I love it. How about some basic bet questions for you for baseball? We don't do this very often, but I think a lot of people know money line versus run line, but maybe these are people that bet football and basketball all the time, right? They're used to betting spreads, and if they're going to bet a money line, it's minus 120, 125. Maybe that's the steepest they're looking at. Now they're both rolling into baseball and looking at minus 172s, and oh boy, I don't want to play that. Let me lay a run and a half. At what point is there a point for you where you're looking more at run lines? Do you suggest everybody should be looking just at money lines, unless you're doing your true own ratings yourself for these teams and what you think, you know, projecting actual final scores? What would you suggest for the newer bettors out there with baseball?
Yeah, so I will on occasion bet run lines. I don't do it as much as other people do.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't used to either.
Obviously, the other thing about run lines, you're typically wanting to bet road teams with run lines as opposed to home teams, because if a game is tied and one run comes across you, it's over. So that's another thing to think about too. If you're looking at a run line, you kind of want it to be a road team, because there's no incentive for them to quit scoring
right
in the top of the eighth inning or ninth inning or whatever, or something like that. But, you know, again, if it's a tie game, home team scores, game's over. You don't cover the run line, you know?
I think that's a great little tidbit.
So something to think about if you're going to play a run line. More times than not, you'd like it to be the road team to guarantee that ninth inning at bat. There are games, though, I'll just pass on if the money line just gets too out of control.
Yeah.
Even if I like the favorite, it's still baseball. Round ball, round bat, like we said, weird flares drop, seeing eyes, right. Singles, swinging bunts.
It's like you asked me the other day about how often you go into late double digits in NBA, yeah. NBA games, right? It's at a certain point, it's just there's a lot of games we can bet you really want to go, you know, right?
Pretend Paul Skeens played on the Dodgers and the Dodgers were playing the Rockies, and it's like
minus 400,
yeah, like four, whatever, something like that. It's like, are they going to win that game a whole lot of times? Sure. But like,
it might even be a fair number. I mean, might even be getting some value on that number.
But
right?
Even Paul Skeens gives up weird hits and flares and can get a blister on his finger and have to come out, you know, whatever, and all of those things. So yes, I will forego betting even strong positions just because that's just not my style. I'm sure there will be other people, numbers guys in here, be like, no, if you're an edge is this, you're going to bet
it. Sure. Yeah.
But like, I
think that checks out a lot of people. Okay. Real quick. And we do have our baseball betting guide coming out here at VEASAN February 17th, Adam Birch, Jensen Lewis do a lot of great work with that. Okay. Real quick. Any other thoughts? Some of the new popular bets, right? We hear a lot about first innings. We hear a lot about the anytime home run hitters, anything like that. Is that something, how often do you bet? Should people be staying away from that stuff?
I wouldn't necessarily stay away. I will. There's just a lot of variance in that.
Yeah.
And like, if you're willing to take the roller coaster ride, then sure. I don't know if a lot of people can deal with it. You might lose that 10 days in a row, you know, if they play it. Put a bow on this one when we come back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Ricky Fowler, 3 birdies in 3 holes.
Let's go, Rick.
To 9 under.
Where's Isaiah at? Is he having a party downstairs, you think?
Does he have a Ricky
Fowler watch party downstairs in the VSiN offices of Circa?
Do you have a Ricky ticket?
Probably, but he's like the biggest Ricky Fowler fan on the planet. Because, you know, he's still from like that age range.
Low-key, I made a Ricky ticket.
Outright?
Yeah.
Good for you. I got top 20 on him. That's it.
But it was just that was more of a FOMO thing.
Well, that's my Maverick McNeely outright.
Akshay Bhatia, 2 under. Tony Finau, 1 under. They all trail Ryo Hosatsune, who is sitting at 10 under. He's yet to tee off.
I can't wait for the reaction on long shots next week if Tony Finau wins this event. Because guess what, Matt? I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't really have a feeling I'm going to have much to say about it. It's going to be the most random blip, yeah. Like on the, you know, right? Like, are we really supposed to read into that?
Yeah.
And if not, if he's putting like this still.
Also, like I said, easy pins first 2 days. Let's see what these dudes look like on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Also, this is like the most gorgeous playing, perfect playing conditions I've ever seen at Pebble, it feels like.
We should get on a plane and go when we leave out of here.
Think Ben can pick us up on his way back from Texas?
Ben can swoop in on his PJ and pick us up, and we'll go up there real quick. Okay, so let's get to some of our plays. We can start with mine. I have Pearson Cootie over Ryu Satsune, Siwoo Kim over JJ Spawn, Ben Griffin over Shane Lowry. So those are the 3 plays that we have in there for the golf today. Those are head-to-heads and for round 2 only. And then we talked about this earlier in the week. Orioles and Pirates over on their win total, Yankees and Dodgers under on theirs. And I will throw in a bonus bet that you get just for listening and watching here that's not on the screen. And guess what that's going to be? Damian Lillard to win the 3-point competition. I'm going to bet it. I'm betting it. He's going to win it.
All right. I like it. I wrote 2 down in the sheet. I don't really know that I'm going to be able to sit through the 3-point contest, though, and not have a Dame Lillard bet bet going. I'm with you. It feels bad. I went Tyrese Maxey and Donovan Mitchell. That's where I'm going to go right now to win the 3-point contest. Ran through these a little bit earlier. Maxey with the most makes and attempts per game from that wide open range, which, you know, it's, you're looking at what people have shot for 3 points all this year. I do like to do the wide open looks, just, okay, what does it look like in a game where there's a little bit more pressure, but also that wide open look like they are going to get in the contest where there's a little bit of pressure as well. So Maxey, and then I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell. You took him in the draft. I waffled back and forth between him and Jamal Murray. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell, though. Saw plus 750 on them. Both those guys feeling a little bit high. And again, I think the one I'm going to kind of save, so obviously this is not, it's not like I'm going to make a ton if any of these guys hit. I think I will add one more, Matt, and it's either going to be Dame, because I just FOMO and I don't want to miss out on Dame winning this, or like we talked about, if I see Norm Powell drift to a ridiculous number, I'll add him as well. Phil Bobbitt. Daytona 500 bets from Phil on the show. Outrights, he's got Kyle Larson 18-1, Ty Gibbs 40-1, Cole Custer 80-1, which that's just a rock solid NASCAR name. Jimmy Johnson 80-1, and Riley Herbst 125-1.
I'm also on Kyle Larson, but no one cares about my opinion on that. That's just a complete tale.
It's not that nobody cares. Nobody should care about your opinion on that.
Yes. The only thing they should care about is that I have a better number because I used a bonus thing.
That's right. They should 20, care about that.
22.5-1.
There was a betting lesson from that.
Yes. I have 22.5-1 on
it. Betting lesson was not about NASCAR from Matt Brown, though.
Taking advantage of opportunity.
Exactly. Yes. Matchups for Phil. He's got Gibbs over, Zilich? Connor Zilich.
That's what we're going to say.
Yeah. And Kyle Larson over Austin Cindric. Michael McDowell over Ricky Stenhouse, -114, 3 matchups for Phil Bobbitt. And what we had, Matt Grissom bets for today, Kansas State money line versus Iowa. Make sure to check these out. One Ben Wilson on the call is the rumor, or at least crashing live shots out there.
On one of them, yeah.
Yeah, TCU money line +120 against Vanderbilt, and Arizona money line -160 versus Stanford. I believe we got some season longs from Grissom as well. To win the College Baseball World Series, Arkansas +1650, Texas 17-1, Oregon State 30-1, Florida 40-1, Florida, the Florida Gators, not Florida State, TCU 50-1. And then to make College Baseball World Series, Oregon State 4-1, Florida plus 450, TCU 5-1.
No LSU on would. There. It's the hate. He's from Arkansas. He went to Arkansas. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's got a bias against us. It's okay.
In Arkansas.
They are, in fact, the very short shot, though.
Yeah, they are the short shot. I was giving them a little crap, too, about Florida State not making his list. But Matt Grissom has he's been a big Florida State supporter in the past. So I'm going to let it slide.
LSU has.
What's the deal with Oregon State in baseball, by the way?
Incredibly loaded team. I mean, like, they
LSU,
are.
Oh, yeah.
Like. So loaded.
I mean, that's not shocking. What I always wonder about, especially these days, like, how does Oregon State just keep reloading? Like, there's been a thing now for, like, 20 years, like, Oregon State baseball. You're doing your thing. You're acting like it's the Pacific Northwest. Are there a lot of great baseball going on out there?
Well, at least it's not like it doesn't snow there. So you can play.
Well,
there
I know too. That, but like, are we ever talking about Oregon or Washington State football or baseball or anything?
Or Oregon.
Oregon,
but I mean Oregon.
They got Phil all Knight. That Nike money.
Yeah, Phil Knight.
Yeah,
Phil Knight. They got
shouldn't
Phil,
be bad
they got
at
Phil
anything.
Knight, they got Phil Knight money. So it's one of those. It's one of those where you look and you go, they should be good every single year.
If you want to specifically just hear Ben Wilson, he will be on the Oklahoma Texas Tech game that starts in 15 minutes and TCU Vanderbilt.
What did they say? Flow something.
Really.
Flow baseball.
I hate that you asked the question. I don't know. Yes.
Flow baseball. Why do we not?
And I believe
especially
in Texas.
especially right now when there's nothing else. How's this not on television? Why didn't it just on normal television?
It probably
why do I have
is.
To get a new streaming service?
I'm assuming it's on ESPN National if Ben Wilson's on the call. Why wouldn't it?
It said flow baseball. That's what he said.
I like that Ben's text that ends with always really good matchups here.
Whoa! Is this a real one? Is this real from Sean? It is.
What do we got?
Chris Paul announces his retirement.
Oh, man. All right.
He's going to go out like that.
Yeah, but that feels sad because he wants to play and, like, nobody wanted him. Like, he was just getting sick of being used as a little trade chip here.
Wow. So he's done 21 seasons.
Chris Paul, hell of a career, man. Hell of a career.
Insta Hall of Famer.
Yes, Insta Hall of Famer. And, you know what? One of those guys, we like to talk about the eras all the time, and we were talking MJ LeBron a little bit earlier, but you had that in-between era, too, right? Where that there were some guys that mattered a lot. Oh, Chris Paul, I guess basically in LeBron's era the whole time. But you know what I'm saying? That mid-2000s era where some of those guys were making an impact, you'll matter for all. You'll always matter.
Man, you look down.
The Mellos, the Chris Pauls, those type of guys.
It's like you look down. And
the J.R.
Like,
Smiths.
If you go to Basketball Reference, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 All-Star seasons for him. You get multiple different MVP votes for him the way.
Yeah, I had to double-check one stat that's going to blow your mind.
This guy averaged, and again, like, you know, at one point it was called the point god,
mm-hmm.
you know. Multiple seasons of double-digit assists averaged over the course of a season before assists were cool. Assists are cool now, you know, but like before assists were cool. I think if you're of a certain age, you remember the golden age of Chris Paul. I think there's I think some people are going to like just go, oh, that old dude retired. And it's kind of like, no, man, Chris Paul retired. Okay. Chris Paul was awesome.
Can we go? You want to do a little trivia here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Top 10 assist leaders of all time. Name as many as you can.
John Stockton.
Okay, number one.
Magic Johnson.
Who's number two?
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is number two. I believe that occurred this year. I think it was this. No. Never mind. He's 500 ahead of Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, three. Oh, I just tipped you one. But Chris Paul, John Stockton finishes their career. Chris Paul played for how many years now?
21.
He is still over 3,000 assists behind John Stockton. Like, it's just that Stockton assist number is just, there are certain NBA records that are really, did it truly never be broken. That was going to be a very tough one to break. All right, who else you got?
But like the other thing here is like, I mean, we're talking about, remember too, like we talked about his assists so much, Kelly. He has multiple seasons of averaging nearly three steals a game too.
Oh, yeah. He's up there on the steals list, yeah.
I mean, it's just.
He's guess what? He's number two behind John Stockton.
I was going to say.
On the steals list.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much.
Steals and assists goes 1, 2, 3. Stockton, Paul, Kidd.
Wow. He averaged, I mean, in his heyday, we are talking 20 points a game, double digit assists, nearly, you know, 2.5 or more steals a game. And then he'll give you a handful of rebounds to go along with it. Good on Chris Paul, yeah. And I'm glad he's decided he's not going to go be sad somewhere else, you know, for all of that. For Kelly, I am Matt. Don't go anywhere. Money moves, prop points, make it rain, all still coming up here. And good luck on all your bets this weekend.